Breaking news tonight. Trump's abortion bombshell on MSNBC, calling not only for a ban on abortion, but saying women should be punished for having one if it's outlawed. Tonight, pro-abortion rights and anti-abortion advocates slamming him. And late today, Trump with a rare reversal. Violent night. A major outbreak of severe weather threatening tens of millions. Tornado warnings and flash floods sweeping across the country. Hospitals held hostage, filled with patients and paralyzed by hackers, creating chaos, demanding ransom to gain back control. Tonight, another hospital giant hit. And headlights surprise. How well do the lights on your car work? You might be stunned about many of the most popular cars on the road. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We begin with a rare about-face for Donald Trump. In full retreat tonight after he ignited a firestorm on both the right and the left by saying women who undergo abortion should face punishment if abortions were outlawed. His comment to MSNBC's Chris Matthews made even some well-known anti-abortion advocates wince. To be clear, all the Republicans running for president favor a ban on abortions, but none has gone so far as to suggest legal action against the women who have them, which may be why Trump has quickly backed away from the remarks and adapted the establishment line. NBC's Katie Turr has details.
But you have to ban it.
Donald Trump dropping a political bombshell, telling Chris Matthews in an MSNBC town hall if abortion was banned, the woman who gets one should be punished.
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 cents? 10 years? What?
That I don't know.
I'm asking you. You want to be president.
You told me.
You tell me what the law should be.
I am pro-life.
What's that
with
mean?
Exceptions. I am pro-life. I have not determined what the punishment would
Why
be.
Why not?
Because I haven't determined it.
A fine on human life, which you call murder?
It'll have to be determined.
A fine?
It'll have to be determined.
For a young woman who finds herself
it
pregnant?
It will have to be determined.
His comments setting off a firestorm of criticism and creating a rare moment of unity from both sides of the abortion debate. Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards denouncing the candidate on Twitter. The March for Life, a group that wants to overturn Roe v. Wade, agreeing.
We would not advocate any form of punishment for a woman who's made such a desperate and sad choice as abortion.
Donald Trump virtually alone on the issue politically. From his Republican rivals.
I don't think that's an appropriate response, and it's a difficult enough situation and to try to punish somebody.
To his supporters, like hardline anti-abortion rights conservatives, Governor Mike Huckabee.
From a standpoint of pro-life, I don't see any value in punishing the woman. And I have to believe that as he thinks through this, we're going to hear a very different answer.
Trump himself says he has, quote, evolved on the issue, telling Tim Russert in 1999.
I'm very pro-choice.
Hours after the Chris Matthews exchange, the Trump campaign issued a full walk back, trying twice to clarify his words, stating if abortion was illegal, the doctor or any other person performing this illegal act upon a woman would be held legally responsible, not the woman. The woman is a victim in this case, as is the life in her womb. The GOP frontrunner, who is closing in on the Republican nomination, faced harsh words from both Democratic rivals.
But to punish a woman for having an abortion is beyond comprehension.
What Donald Trump said today was outrageous and dangerous.
Right now, 70% of female voters nationally say they have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump, a gap that Republican strategists worry could kill Trump's chances of getting into the White House, especially if he faces off against Hillary Clinton.
With Ted Cruz leading in Wisconsin, Donald Trump can't afford to alienate conservative voters. But when it comes to those who already support him, they already support him because he is not a traditional politician. They give him the benefit of the doubt, even when he doesn't always say the right thing. Lester?
And Katie, a lot of news coming out of that conversation. That's not the only major headline Trump is making this evening. He's also turning heads with recent comments on foreign policy, including what he just told Chris Matthews about the use of nuclear weapons. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has those late details.
Why do we make them? We have
because of the old nuclear.
Donald Trump with Chris Matthews today refusing to rule out using battlefield nuclear weapons against ISIS or Europe.
Can you tell the Middle East we're not using a nuclear weapon?
I would never say that. I would never take any of my cards off the table.
How about Europe? We won't use it in Europe.
I'm not going to take it off the table.
You might use it in Europe?
No, I don't think so. But
I'm not just say it. I would never use a nuclear weapon in Europe.
I am not taking cards off the table.
Trump was first asked about using nuclear weapons against ISIS by the Washington Post last week and gave a rambling answer.
I don't want to start the process of nuclear. Remember, one thing that everybody has said, I'm a counterpuncher. Rubio hit me. Bush hit me.
This was about ISIS. You would not
by the way, can I do one
nuclear
thing?
Weapon against
this,
ISIS.
This is a very good-looking group of people. Could I just go around and, so I know who the hell I'm talking
sure.
to?
Trump then shocked the New York Times and CNN, saying he was okay with South Korea and Japan getting nuclear weapons, even Saudi Arabia.
At some point, we have to say, you know what? We're better off if Japan protects itself against this maniac in North Korea. We're better off, frankly, if South Korea is going to start to protect itself.
Saudi Arabia nuclear weapons?
Saudi Arabia, absolutely.
Trump's comments about letting other countries become nuclear powers instead of controlling the spread of nuclear weapons contradicts decades of American nuclear strategy.
This would be reversing U.S. policy under every Republican and Democratic president since Eisenhower, and I think it would be very dangerous.
Trump's comments about nuclear policy were called shockingly ignorant this week in a New York Times editorial and come just as world leaders are gathering in Washington tomorrow for President Obama's summit on how to stop the spread of nuclear weapons. Lester?
All right, Andrea, thanks. Let's bring in our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. Chuck, Donald Trump isn't shy about making provocative statements and sticking to them. But on abortion, why this one? Why did he back off so quickly? Is that not stunning in itself?
It is stunning, and it is because the pro-life community criticized him as harshly as folks in the pro-choice community did. And that's why he had to backtrack. Look, he does come across as somebody who is a convert on this issue because he didn't know how to talk about it. He hadn't, frankly, it looks like he hadn't studied the issue very deeply or spoken to folks in this movement on the issue. So I think that's why he quickly walked it back. That said, we are entering a dangerous phase here if you're Donald Trump. He's got to be very careful. The Republican Party and its leaders are looking for reasons to get into the not Trump bandwagon. This, coupled with what he's been saying about nukes, coupled with some of this other stuff, if he also loses Wisconsin, there could be real momentum that actually does stop him, Lester.
All right, Chuck Todd, thank you. A big night ahead over on MSNBC. A lot more fireworks from Donald Trump and his rivals for jam-packed events. A very interesting night of politics ahead. A lot of nervous eyes on the skies this evening. Millions of people under the threat of tornadoes and flash floods as a big storm pushes its way across the country. Watches and warnings have been issued. NBC Steve Patterson is in the storm zone tonight.
Tonight, the fury of spring storms slamming into the south. The thunderstorm threat, whipping winds, torrential rain, powerful gusts packing pounding hail, already wreaking havoc in Arkansas and Missouri. Now, 27 million people in the path of severe storms. A possible twister touched down near Lindale, Texas. Tornado watches have already been issued in four different states, with the threat stretching from Kansas to mid-Mississippi through the night.
The storm may still have quarter-size hail or larger with it, could even be golf ball size.
Another major risk, flash flooding. Heavy rains in Little Rock, Arkansas, making for a dangerous evening commute. So bad it swept away this dumpster in a nearby park. The ground in much of the Mississippi Valley already saturated from days of flooding in early March. Communities in the south already taking several severe weather punches. The fear a haymaker is coming with the potential to be thrown from any direction.
And tomorrow that threat area expands. 37 million people from the Gulf Coast to the Great Lakes at risk for possible tornadoes, large hail and damaging winds. Meanwhile, heavy rain and flooding expected in the southeast until Friday, as some areas could see up to 4 inches. Lester?
Looks rough out there. Steve Patterson, thank you. Tonight, a big chain of hospitals serving hundreds of thousands of patients in the Washington, D.C. area is struggling to get back to normal after it was hit with what's known as a ransomware attack. The latest example in a string of such attacks on hospitals, hackers gaining control, causing chaos, and demanding a big payoff or else. We get more on the story from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
This suburban Washington woman was furious when the hospital canceled 3 days of her husband's radiation treatments.
You know, there are people worse than my husband, and God love them. I hope they get it faster and get treatment somewhere.
A cyber attack forced MedStar Health to shut down computers Monday at 10 hospitals in the Washington area. Many patients got this voice message.
Our computer systems are still down, so we need you to bring a list of your current medication.
MedStar now says with backups, it's returning to normal and that overall patient care has not suffered.
MedStar calls it computer malware, but investigators say it's the latest example of ransomware, locking up a computer remotely and holding it hostage.
James Line is head of research at a computer security firm.
They're quite literally holding your own data to ransom on your computer and demanding that you pay money to get access to your data once more.
A Los Angeles medical center hit last month paid $17,000 to get its system going again. A short time later, similar attacks on hospitals in Canada, and just last week in Kentucky and two more in Southern California. James Traynor, the FBI's top cybercrime official, says it's spreading.
Last year, 2015, we saw a big uptick, and then the first quarter of 2016, very aggressive targeting of this critical sector.
The FBI urges victims not to pay the ransom, advice many find hard to follow. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Another of the four Americans killed in the Brussels terror attacks has been identified. Gail Martinez of Texas was traveling with her husband, an Air Force officer, and their four children when she was mortally wounded in the airport blasts. One American victim has yet to be identified. Meanwhile, as our Keir Simmons reports, new evidence recovered from the attackers suggests the ISIS target list might include world leaders.
Tonight, a new look at the devastation inside Brussels airport, an explosion at the check-in desks, the second suicide bomber's blood on the floor, and this is where the third bomb blew up after the airport was evacuated. But were the ISIS terrorists also planning to target a European head of state? The New York Times, citing a government official, tonight reporting the men behind the Brussels bombings had a floor plan and photographs of the Belgian Prime Minister's office. They were found on Ibrahim El-Bakrawi's laptop computer, left in a trash can. The Prime Minister's office not far from the bombed metro station, and that's not the only key location nearby.
That's the entrance to the office of the Belgian Prime Minister, this country's equivalent of the White House, right on the street, and just half a block away, the U.S. Embassy.
During the Paris massacre, a soccer match attended by the French president was interrupted by the sound of suicide bombers. One had tried to get into the stadium. Days later, Germany's police cancelled a game hosted by their leader, Angela Merkel.
This is a group that has wild aspirations and ambitions. Whether it can realise them is a different matter.
And tonight, French officials revealing an arsenal found in a raid last week on a suspect they say was planning an imminent attack. Almost 3 pounds of explosives, thousands of ball bearings, the exact target unknown. Lester?
Here's Simmons, thank you. A new report, the first of its kind, is rating the safety of headlights on some of the most popular cars on the road with some surprising results. Many of the most expensive cars did the worst, and all but one failed to be rated good. NBC's Miguel Almaguer shed some light on results all drivers should hear.
With nearly half of all traffic accidents occurring in the dark, tonight a study about headlights by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, shining a new light on a dark danger, raising concern for Alan and Nancy Heinebusch.
I haven't thought that much about headlights.
The Institute studied 31 2016 mid-size vehicles. The Toyota Prius V with LED lights and high beam assist, the only car to rank good. While 20 other vehicles are acceptable or marginal, one-third ranked poor. The most expensive, doing the worst.
The worst vehicle only lights up the road about 130 feet down the road compared to the best performing vehicle, which can see 400 feet down the road.
The study found many headlights are for style, not safety. The Prius V and the BMW 3 Series side by side, the Toyota lighting up the fence. In this example, the BMW failed to illuminate a mannequin and deer, a night and day difference from the Prius. Automakers say they are within federal guidelines. BMW and Mercedes disappointed in the results of the study and confident in their lighting.
Government standards allow for a wide variation in headlight illumination.
mostly because the government hasn't been able to keep up with technology. Experts say consumers need to do their own homework.
Spending over $50,000 for a car with expensive headlamps and you find the performance is not good, that's a little bit disappointing.
For shoppers like the Heinebushes, no longer just kicking the tires, but now also flashing the headlights. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
There's a lot more to tell you about here tonight. Your biological clock. How much time is left on it? Simple test telling women how long they can wait to get pregnant. Also, Prince William to the rescue. An accident victim gets quite a surprise when he realizes who flew in to help. It's a question that can keep many women up at night, whether there's still enough time to have a baby. But now more women are using an easy test that can take all the guesswork out of how much time is left on their biological clocks. NBC's Janet Shamlian explains.
There we go. It's a simple blood test, but for Heather and Rob Salaga, it will tell them how long they can wait to have another child.
Our daughter talks to her baby dolls like they're siblings, and we got to try to give her a real one.
That blood test, nicknamed the baby deadline test, is like a checkup for the ovaries. It used to be for women already struggling to get pregnant. It's now being used to predict infertility problems.
One of the toughest conversations I have every day are for patients who have waited truly too long.
Born with 2 million eggs, by age 30, a woman's ovarian reserve will decrease 90%. The test measures a hormone released by the remaining eggs to determine the quantity left, though not the quality. For Alyssa Gold, it was a difficult wake-up call. She took the test at 34 before starting business school.
I had gone into it just thinking this was going to be really easy breezy and, you know, I'm great and I'm in good health. And my results were really below normal.
So she froze her eggs. Gold is now 38, married, and thinking of starting a family. With a recent career change, 34-year-old Heather wants to know whether she can wait.
That your AMH level is in the top 5 to 10% of all women in your age group.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really, this is good news, guys.
Will you put off having a second child knowing that, you know, you've got time?
We may give it a go now, but it's nice to know that we have more time if our first go doesn't go.
A window into a woman's fertility for those trying to beat the biological clock.
Good job.
Janet Shamlian, NBC News, Norwalk, Connecticut.
And we're back in a moment with a warning about something that most of us do every day that may increase the risk of dying early. The White House announced today President Obama is commuting the prison sentences of 61 people serving time for drug-related offenses. Most are nonviolent offenders. More than a third of them were serving life behind bars. The president has now made a total of 248 commutations. That's more than the past six presidents combined. Now to some bad news, but you may not want to sit down for it. A new study finds that sitting too much can increase the risk of early death. Researchers looked at 54 countries and they found the average sitting time is nearly 5 hours a day. The study found that cutting the time by just a half hour per day could have a significant impact. The expert known as the voice of calm after disaster is leaving her post. Seismologist Lucy Jones was honored today for serving 33 years at the U.S. Geological Survey. Known as the Earthquake Lady, Jones is a familiar face in California. Millions turned to her for information after a quake. Here she is in 1992 giving a live interview with her son in her arms after one of the strongest quakes in California history. When we come back here, Royal Rescue. A man nearly misses the fact that his first responder happens to be the future King of England. Finally, tonight, a story about a British man who recently had a brush with royalty, and he nearly didn't realize it was happening. But as our Rahema Ellis explains, he had a very good excuse.
This man on the stretcher got two surprises recently. He was knocked unconscious and looked closely to the right side of the picture. The rescue worker in the glasses holding the man's head is the future King of England, Prince William.
At that point, I didn't realize it was him.
Today on British television, Jim Shimbri, with his arm in a sling, explained he was still reeling from medication after being hit by a tree branch and didn't know who was on the rescue team.
It wasn't until they were actually loading me into the helicopter and I went, oh, Wills, you better not be flying this thing.
But he was, and the prince told him he had been holding his head for 30 minutes. He's been a pilot for years.
Doing a job like this is
worthwhile, valuable, and to me, there's an element of duty about it.
This latest rescue comes at a perfect time for the prince. He and his wife, Kate, have been royally criticized for attending fewer official engagements than his 89-year-old grandmother, the Queen. But this working man has a different view.
He's doing a normal man's job.
Shimbri has no high hopes the prince will call to check up on him. But after being this close to royalty, he says, even a text would be nice. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, London.
And that will do it for us on this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.